The following episode of Lyrics of Their Life podcast deals with serious and sensitive topics. Listener discretion is advised. Hi everyone, and welcome to Lyrics of Their Life, On the Rise, the show where we take a look at the best rising stars of the music industry today, or in some cases, those extremely talented but underrated artists who deserve far more recognition. On today's episode, we're exploring the story so far of a rising powerhouse currently taking the country music world by storm. None other than Ella Langley. With a voice that draws comparisons to a young Dolly Parton or Stevie Nicks, Ella has officially crossed over into the mainstream with her latest smash hit, Choosin' Texas. From singing to her cows in Alabama to hitting number one on the singles and album charts worldwide, all while selling out shows across the USA, this country star's rise is undeniable, and it's clear she's breathing new life into the genre, with her vintage style and modern edge. So come with us as we take an in-depth look into Ella's upbringing, the many obstacles she's had to overcome, and what led her to being the chart topper that she is today. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. I'm your host, Adam Hampton, and this is Lyrics of Their Life, the story of Ella Langley.
Prince has died at the age of 57.
This is it.
Sorry, Gary, but I was always the talented member of the band.
Keep booing, little girl. I will hit a man with glasses.
I'm really happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Former Beatle John Lennon, who was 40, was shot and killed last night outside his luxury apartment in New York.
Has-beens shouldn't present fucking awards to Gunna Be.
Leave Britney alone!
Ella Langley was born Elizabeth Camille Langley in the small, humble town of Hope Hole, Alabama, in the United States of America, on the 3rd of May, 1999. Hope Hole is about 15 minutes south of Montgomery and at the time had a population of just over 3,000 people. It was also known around this time for its mix of industrial working-class citizens and farmland. Ella was raised here by her parents, Heather and Jason, who were in their mid to late 20s when they welcomed young Ella into the world. Ella's mother, Heather, hailed from Michigan, and her father, Jason, was a local Alabama boy. According to Ella, her mother was a tough woman and experienced a lot of hard times growing up, as she was a talented and aspiring writer who had the ability to study at college, but happened to fall pregnant at the young age of 17 to her previous boyfriend, who in Ella's own words, turned out to be a dick and an alcoholic. After Heather gave birth to her very first child and Ella's half-brother Thomas, she split up with his father and looked for a fresh start, relocating to Alabama. Heather didn't know anyone from this area. However, she was good with computers, which was enough to land her a job at the local school, where she would eventually meet Ella's father Jason, who at the time was working at the school as a landscape gardener and mowing the school's lawns. Heather and Jason's relationship would take off from here, as Jason took on the stepfather role to young Thomas, before the couple tied the knot in April 1998, a year out from the birth of Ella. Ella would be raised alongside her half-brother Thomas, who was about the age of 7 when Ella was born, before her little brother Stuart came along in 2001 when Ella was 2 years old. Ella also had a little sister named Katie, who was born much later in 2007 when Ella was already 8 years old. Ella was extremely close with her siblings, and together the family of 6 were very tight-knit, with Ella claiming that both her mother and father were very supportive and always gave her a push when she needed extra motivation. It wasn't always sunshine and rainbows, however, as her parents went through their own difficulties, financially, romantically, and in regards to their own mental health, as Ella declared that poor mental health ran in the family. Thankfully, however, Jason and Heather would pull through, reinforcing the importance of persistence, commitment, and hard work, and instilling these ideologies in their children. Ella explained that there wasn't a whole heap to do in the town of Hope Hull. However, since the age of 3, she claims she has been singing, as every Wednesday night and most Sundays, Ella and her family would attend the Southern Baptist Church, where Ella would sing both solo and in choirs, with Ella's very first performance for a group of people occurring right here in church as she sung a rendition of Amazing Grace. Ella wanted nothing more to be a performer when she was older, declaring that she wanted it so bad that she would often get so jealous of other performers on stage when going to concerts, to the point of feeling physically ill. From a very early age, she would begin to jam with local musicians in the area, as well as neighbours, family members, and her grandpa, who she cites as her greatest influence on her musical ambitions. As she said, quote, "Nothing made me happier than sitting next to my grandpa on the piano bench singing Froggy Went Accordin." Ella's grandparents on her father's side lived just up the road from her and were terrific musicians, with her grandmother being a beautiful harmony singer, often performing with the church choir, as her grandmother would also encourage Ella to take up piano lessons, but Ella soon learnt she wasn't a natural and regretfully gave it away. Her grandpa, on the other hand, played piano like a pro and taught her everything she knows, even getting her into the music of Hank Williams. Her grandfather could easily pick up and play any instrument by ear, with the talented man even possessing a great voice himself. Her grandparents were very proud of Ella's love and passion for music and the fact she was their firstborn granddaughter, as they filled her with confidence and always built her up, as Ella became so confident that she would perform for everyone, from the patients at the local dentist in the waiting room to the local mail delivery lady. Ella grew up surrounded by music, recalling fond memories of riding in the truck with her father as he'd be playing his homemade burnt CD mixtapes ranging from rock, old school country, and disco, including some of his favourite artists like Michael Bublé, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Bon Jovi, Def Leppard, and Merle Haggard. Ella's mother, on the other hand, would play anything from pop, new wave, grunge, and even folk, with some of her favourites including Pearl Jam, Depeche Mode, Grateful Dead, and Peter, Paul and Mary. Ella herself grew up listening to a wide variety of music, including the likes of Willie Nelson, Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac, Leah Womack, Maroon 5, Paramore, Shania Twain, and Chris Stapleton. Some of her favourite songs included David Allan Coe's You Never Call Me By My Name, Rose Coloured Glasses by John Connolly, and Mama Tried by Merle Haggard, as she told her local newspaper, the Montgomery Advertiser, when she was younger, quote, "So in my dad's truck, I heard a lot of big rock bands, old school country, and even disco. My dad, my brothers, my sister and I would be singing Mama Tried at the top of our lungs." Ella also claimed in that very same interview that she was naturally drawn to songs that told a story, or as she said, quote, "Artists like Stevie Nicks and Willie Nelson, I feel and believe every word they sing. They write songs from their own experience and perform them with such honesty." Ella would later describe music as a part of her appendage and that it was just ingrained in her DNA. Nothing else mattered to her, as she would often stare up at the ceiling while listening to music or while doing the dishes and gaze out the window, daydreaming about being a star. Ella remembers even singing to her father's herd of cattle, either frolicking in the paddock amongst them or by climbing up onto the barn roof as her stage, chucking on her headphones and sinking into her own imaginary world as she would sing to the cows in the paddock below, imagining that they were her audience. Growing up, Ella was a bit of a tomboy and a daddy's girl, and remembers helping her dad around the farm and going deer hunting with him, using both rifles and compound bows, as she declared that she enjoyed hunting more than her brothers. Ella's father, Jason, often worked away during the week from Monday to Friday as a transmission salesman, but he was home on the weekends to tend to the farm and spend quality time with his family. Jason revealed on God's Country podcast that Ella has no quit in her, whether it came to sports, hunting, or life for that matter, and that at the age of 8 or 9, she brought down her very first deer. Ella would join her father and her family friend on her very first hunting trip around the age of 4, dressed in her little vest with her toboggan, carrying the essential snacks, of course, including cheese, crackers, and Skittles, as she set out on her very first hunting adventure. Eager to learn, it wouldn't take long for Ella to be brought to tears when her dad shot and killed a buck as the realization set in that this beautiful animal was now dead. In order to comfort her, their family friend told Ella not to worry, as he was a mean deer anyway, as he had been picking on all the baby deer with his horns, which made her feel much better. Ella over time learnt that this was part of hunting, and overall just loved being out there with her father, as she was his little sidekick. Ella's father Jason also claimed that she applied this never give up attitude to sports, and in particular to soccer. Ella wasn't the most gifted athlete, but what she lacked in skill, she made up for with grit and determination, and inherited her father's hard-working attitude, as he admitted on the God's Country podcast that he wasn't the smartest guy around, but taught Ella the importance of having a good character and working hard to achieve things in life. On this same podcast, Jason claimed there wasn't a game of soccer where she didn't get a yellow card because she was such a physical player, always getting in amongst the action. Ella confirmed that she always had this competitive nature, once even turning down a boy named Freddie, who on Valentine's Day offered to be her boyfriend and gifted her a teddy, only for Ella to reject him, as she wasn't interested in dating. Then, when Freddie presented the teddy to another girl and asked her out that very same day, Ella's competitive streak got the better of her as she quickly changed her mind and told him, "Hold on, Freddie, I will go out with you." Ella described herself as a very intense emotional person as a kid and would go from over the moon joyful and happy to sad and depressed, and that her emotions were all over the shop. Ella would also grow up playing softball and love spending time with her pets and animals on the farm, ranging from goats, horses, rabbits, dogs and cows, and even aspired to one day work with them in some capacity when she grew up, perhaps as either a vet or vet nurse, if music wasn't to work out. Ella was like any other kid, playing outside often, using her imagination, and even having her very own imaginary friend that she referred to as Dee Dee. While she also enjoyed playing video games, riding her horses, spending time fishing at her parents' lake house in Alabama, doing chores like collecting timber for bonfires with her brothers, and was even enrolled in dancing for some time. As a child, Ella would attend the K-12 school, Hooper Academy, in Hope Hull, Alabama, the same school that her father attended as a child. However, Ella struggled to pay attention in class and often got in trouble for talking or distracting other students, as she found school tedious as she struggled with being told what to do, when to do it, or having to sit still for long periods of time. To her, it just didn't feel natural. Ella was so naughty in class that she even had her very own designated desk in the corner of the room away from all the other students because she would talk too much. Due to her lack of attentiveness, the school suggested that perhaps she would benefit from homeschooling. While her parents weighed up their options, they would essentially be forced into this decision when it was discovered that Ella had a problem with the muscles in her eyes, which were perhaps contributing to her lack of attentiveness in class. The muscles in Ella's eyes were said to be too weak, and that the problem had been ongoing since birth, causing her to occasionally go cross-eyed and even see double. Sadly, from here, Ella would undergo multiple surgeries to her eyes from a very young age, describing to Theo Von on his podcast that they even had to pull the eyeball out to work on the muscles and that the surgeries would be ongoing, having her most recent one in 2023. With Ella struggling with her eyes and often needing surgeries and doctor's appointments, homeschooling turned out to be the best option, and luckily for her, she preferred it, as she spent 6 years being homeschooled by her mother, as she claimed it allowed her imagination to last longer and that she often had plenty of extra time to do things she loved. However, at times, she would get bored and did miss the social aspect of school, claiming she spent a lot of time watching cartoons like SpongeBob and playing video games on her Game Boy or Nintendo 64. Sadly, when Ella was around the age of 13, her beloved grandfather passed away, leaving a huge hole in her life. But while he had passed, his collection of guitars remained. So in his memory, around a year later at the age of 14, Ella decided to pick up one of his guitars and had her father restring the guitar for her, as Ella would start to tune it and teach herself how to play by watching YouTube tutorials on her computer, with the very first song she ever learnt to play being Bob Marley's Three Little Birds. By no means was Ella a natural, but over the years her technique would improve with continued practice. After 6 years of homeschooling, when Ella was ready for high school, she would be re-enrolled at Hooper Academy. Ella would become renowned at school for bringing her guitar along with her, where she would jam on lunch breaks. Ella also explained that her school was as country as it gets, with some kids even arriving to school driving tractors, or on some occasions, they would have to run out in the middle of class to herd cattle back into paddocks if they got out around the schoolyard. The teachers were also pretty laid back and would sometimes, towards the end of the day, allow the kids a 30-minute early mark to play the guitar or do their own thing. It was at this school where Ella credits her high school history teacher, named Coach Pop, for being instrumental in her musical journey, as she wrote on her social media pages, quote, "Around 10th grade, I'd come to this room on Fridays with my guitar, and Coach Pop would bring his 12-string, so we could jam together. It dang sure wasn't much of a jam session on my end at first, and I'm gonna have to apologize to all those kids who had to listen to me play the handful of songs I knew over and over again. Hashtag so much Johnny Cash." But Coach Pop was so encouraging that I didn't really care if I sounded awful or if I couldn't always make my fingers do right. He just kept supporting me. Coach Pop would go on to gift Ella that guitar of his and was in attendance for her very first paid gig. While at Hooper Academy, Ella would perform in the school talent show and even took up a brief job at the local indoor trampoline park to help fund her dream of becoming a musician. However, this was only short-lived, as Ella claimed it was a, quote, weird place to work, and that she would get yelled at all the time by the customers, which led to her quitting. With Ella's confidence growing as a budding musician, she would head out to play a couple of paid and unpaid gigs at small venues around the township of Hope Hull and surrounding areas like the River Region and Lake Marden, with her very first gig at the age of 15 being at a wedding reception at Beslow's Restaurant and Bar at Lake Marden. Ella thought she had struck gold when she was paid $200 for the gig, which helped her realise that she could make a living off of this. From here, she would go on to play a couple more wedding ceremonies. However, she would turn her attention to recording music, as Ella's parents would pay for her to record some of her music at Guesthouse Recording Studio in the town of Eclectic, Alabama, when she was just 16 years old. It was here in these studio sessions that Ella would record 8 country-style cover songs for a video press kit, which was essentially an old-school promotional method used to send to both labels and venues for bookings. While this was an outdated method, as social media had now taken over as a much more practical tool, Ella claims that she didn't know any better. According to Ella, however, she hated being on video and lacked confidence as a guitarist, stating that she, quote, thought she sucked after listening back to her recordings. The producer at Guesthouse Studio, however, had belief in her and told her to keep at it, telling her to work on producing 50 more cover songs to get her voice out there. So, for the next 2 to 3 years, Ella slowed down with her gigging and would slowly record her 50 cover songs while going back to school and focusing on her sport. During this period, Ella also happened to write her first ever song at the age of 17, alongside her auntie, titled Clear the Clouds, a song about pushing forward through the tough times and overcoming obstacles in life, as the pair wrote the song in under 20 minutes on Ella's front porch, before uploading it to YouTube, where it surprisingly did well and received plenty of positive feedback, giving Ella a much-needed confidence boost. In 2017, 18-year-old Ella Langley would graduate from high school alongside just 32 other kids. She would be accepted into 2 universities, including Troy and Auburn, both of which were located in Alabama. Ella would choose to study forestry at Auburn University, which covered topics like sustainability, conservation, and environment management, as Ella explained that her auntie encouraged her to get into this field, as she had worked in the industry, and that she only chose to do the course as she didn't know what else to do, and thought it might lead to jobs involving controlled burns or tagging deers. Ella would attend university alongside her childhood best friend, Madeline Maxwell, where the duo joined the famous sorority, Phi Mu. Together with her mix of new and old friends, they partied, snuck into clubs underage using fake IDs, and got tattoos, with Ella receiving a treble clef as her very first tattoo, just 3 months out of high school, leaving her father furious when he found out, as he was dead against tattoos. This wouldn't stop Ella, however, as she would go on to get multiple tattoos over the years, including 3 little birds, representing the first song she ever learnt to play, and even getting the coordinates to her parents' property. While here at Auburn University, at the age of 18, Ella finally handed in the 50 cover songs to form her press kit, as she would then send them out to local bars and venues. Her hard work would pay off, even though at first it didn't seem like it, when at a bar in eclectic Alabama, at a songwriter's night, Ella ended up singing her own originals to about 4 70-year-olds in the audience. While it wasn't a great turnout, luckily for Ella, a band who also happened to be playing there that night liked what they saw and would share the stage with her for a number of cover songs, as they gelled quite quickly. Feeling the chemistry, Ella would build up the courage and ask them to join her as her full-time band, with all three men all aged in their mid to late 20s and agreeing to join her band, calling themselves Ella Langley Band. As they would travel around in Ella's busted-up little Honda to gigs around Alabama, Georgia, and even Florida, often breaking down along the way. Ella would take any gig she could, even playing free shows on the university campus to drunken students, which often got rowdy and dangerous. Occasionally, Ella's gigs would last as long as 4 hours, as she'd usually play cover gigs from Thursday through to Saturday and acoustic gigs on Sundays, leaving very few days to study. After dealing with the loss of her beloved grandmother in April 2018, Ella would soldier on, determined to make her dream a reality, supporting small-time bands like the Wilson Rivers Band, recording and releasing her debut single, titled Perfect, and partying and enjoying her college life at the same time. With Ella so focused on music and partying, this meant she started to fail her degree, as her heart was no longer in it. It was while gigging at the Auburn University bars and clubs that through a mutual connection with promotional company 65 South, Ella would meet and befriend two budding male country musicians named Clay Barker, who became Ella's boyfriend, and a much older country musician named Trey Lewis, as the trio quickly hit it off, bonding over their love for country music and their shared talent. Clay grew up in Alexander City, Alabama, while Trey grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, as both men were managed by Mitch Wallace. Trey Lewis, in particular, would become an integral part of Ella's life, as Trey, who had battled his own demons and troubles with alcohol in the past, became a solid friend who always had Ella's back no matter what, as he would essentially become a mentor and big brother-like figure to Ella. Trey would be slightly ahead of Ella in terms of where he was at in his career, as he had a plan along with Clay to head to Nashville to make it big. Together, the three boys, Mitch, Clay, and Trey, planned to head to Nashville to launch their careers, leaving Ella behind in Auburn, almost 5 hours away. But, not wanting to live with regrets and be left behind, during July 2019, the now 20-year-old Ella Langley made the decision to chase her musical dream and dropped out of university. With Ella revealing the surprising news to her parents and telling them that this was what she wanted to do and there was no stopping her. Her parents had always believed in her and wanted her to pursue her dreams, with her mother even helping her to move to Nashville. However, her father Jason was much more nervous for her, and he wasn't too thrilled that she was moving around 5 hours away with three older guys, one of course being her boyfriend, and also leaving behind her studies. With time, however, her father came around and supported her no matter what. Together, Ella and the three boys would share a frat-style townhouse just outside of Nashville, in the neighbourhood known as Hermitage, settling here for the next 2 years, with Ella claiming that her sibling-like bond with Trey grew even further here, with some even questioning at times if they were romantically involved. with Ella writing on her social media, quote, "I made a big move this week. Around 8 months ago, I made the decision to leave Auburn and move my music career to Nashville. The decision to leave all of my friends, family, and a town that I love was definitely a hard one, and I will forever be grateful for the memories and friendships that Auburn still holds. I know my journey has just begun, but I just want to thank everyone who has supported me thus far, because it's what pushes me every day. I'm excited for this new adventure and what it has in store. Now let's do this thing." It wouldn't take long for Ella to knuckle down, treating her musical ambitions like a full-time job. At times, her band from back in Auburn would join her for gigs, or she'd perform solo, as Ella would perform a weekend's worth of gigs around Nashville before waking up on the Monday morning and showing how committed she was, sending out Facebook messages to local businesses and promoters, hoping to land further gigs. She would earn recognition from small independent country platforms like 65 South and Raised Rowdy, and after a short break, after having her tonsils removed, Ella was ready to get back to performing. However, she would manage just a handful of shows in 2020 before the COVID-19 pandemic hit, forcing her and the rest of the industry into mandatory shutdowns. In the meantime, Ella worked on building up her social media presence and on her physical fitness, as she began to build a solid following. Ella even shared a happy 2-year anniversary post for her and Clay Baker to social media. However, sometime after this, the couple would split up. Ella would later be linked to fellow country artists like Riley Green, but for the most part, she has remained both single and very private in regard to that part of her life. Ella's time in Nashville with her band from back home in Auburn would only be brief, however, as she grew tired of their lack of respect that they showed towards her, as she had started to write more of her own material and was pushing to perform it live rather than just playing covers all the time. However, her bandmates, and in particular her guitarist, made her doubt herself, as he believed her originals simply weren't good enough. As Ella explained that she asked them why they don't play her stuff more often, with her guitarist being straight with her, saying, "You need to write better songs first." So reluctantly, for some time, Ella would give in, bite her tongue, and play the covers, which resulted in a limited reach, as she sat and watched Trey, Clay, and others around her advance their careers in Nashville. And, as Ella fought so hard just to land bar gigs, Trey would land his first major breakthrough, releasing a cheeky hit song during the 2020 COVID pandemic about a cheating girlfriend called "Dick Down in Dallas." The track would go on to reach number 12 on the US Hot Country chart and 65 on the US Billboard Hottest 100, where it was certified gold and was somewhat a viral sensation on social media. By this point, Ella was feeling like an outsider in Nashville, as she was trying to make it in a male-dominated industry, away from her friends and family, and often wondered if she was making the right decision by staying here. Ella would fall into a bit of a depressive state during this time and contemplated returning home to her parents' farm in Alabama. However, Trey Lewis stepped up and gave her the motivation she needed, as he told her to, quote, "Get up, you can do it, you're a machine." Respecting Trey's advice, Ella did exactly that and didn't look back, utilizing the downtime of COVID to write better songs with her housemates. By July 2020, Ella would make a return to gigging live and release 2 singles, including Match Made in Heaven and a song about her father's positive influence on her, titled Like My Daddy Done. Trey would also encourage Ella to come along to writers' rounds in Nashville, where around five songwriters would sit together on a stage in a circle and take turns to play their own acoustic originals. It was through these writers' rounds where Ella found her voice and her people, as she befriended a talented singer-songwriter from Alabama named Joy Beth Taylor. At first, Ella wondered if Joy Beth even liked her at all, as she had approached her during a writer's round, telling Joy Beth how much she loved one of her originals, called Memories. But Ella didn't really get much back in terms of a conversation. Ella and Beth would draw closer over time as they crossed paths at rounds, while Joy Beth would often hang around Trey and the boys at their house. However, after sharing a cigarette, a deep conversation, and of course a jam session on the front porch, the two hit it off, forming a long-lasting friendship and a vital songwriting partnership. Joy Beth became Ella's right-hand gal, writing their very first song together on that porch, as Ella would also befriend a budding photographer named Kaylee Robillard, who joined Ella's team, as Ella had built herself her own little supportive and talented family. The writers' rounds did wonders for Ella's self-confidence, as her voice improved and evolved significantly during this period, while she also felt her original songs were respected here. It was while Ella was performing at a writers' round during August 2021, when a publishing executive for Sony Music Nashville, named Maya Hansen, was in attendance, as she had her eye on Trey Lewis. Maya would be shocked, however, when she noticed the talent oozing out of the young Ella Langley. From here, Maya would become Ella's manager and helped her land a paid publishing deal to write songs for other artists, with Ella posting about this huge breakthrough on social media, stating, quote, someone pinch me because I just signed my first publishing deal and I still can't believe it. I remember the day I decided to quit college, move 5 hours away, and leave everything I have ever known to chase a dream that at some points even I believed was crazy. But I did it, and I am so grateful. God is good. While writing for others, Ella would also push forward with her own career, and despite getting plenty of live experience with her band, she was still receiving plenty of pushback from them over her originals, and felt she wasn't progressing. So, with Ella's guitarist often playing long, obnoxious solos, playing over the top of her vocals, or telling her things like she never, quote, paid him enough to even buy a cheeseburger, despite Ella often going without eating a lot of the time, just so she could pay her bandmates. Ella would next make a brave and bold decision and sent her band members packing, replacing them with drummer Michael Chalker, bass player John Frisch, and on lead guitar, arguably her most trusted and talented bandmate, Ben Flanders, who hails from Brisbane, Australia, and boasts experience playing with the likes of Scott Stapp's band, who of course was the frontman of American Christian rockers Creed. All three members were much more respectful and supportive, who had Ella's back and gave her the reins to sing whatever she liked. From here, Ella would release some promising singles, titled If You Have To, Damn You, and Hey Ma, I Made It, with the beautiful ballad If You Have To, in particular, delving into a breakup and showing off both Ella's strong songwriting and vocal ability, and even receiving over 500,000 streams in just under a week. The underrated track Hey Ma, I Made It is an incredibly emotive and beautiful song dedicated to Ella's mother Heather, and is essentially an appreciation song for raising her to be the woman she is today, as she took to social media to say, quote, this song isn't about reaching some height of success, but a love letter to my mum. I wrote this song for my mama my grandmas, and all of the women in my life who have prayed for me, supported me, and paved the way for me to chase this dream, simply because they believed I could do it. The success of these latest tracks were enough to land her an opening slot on the Randy Houser Live in Concert tour, as Ella would travel for the first time across America during 2022. The tour was an eye-opening experience, introducing her to a whole new audience and giving her tremendous exposure, as Ella claimed that she learnt how to play to different audiences from varying walks of life. On tour, Ella, Michael, John, Ben, and their photographer Kaylee would travel around in Trey Lewis's Sprinter van, with Ella explaining that being stuck in a van with three sweaty dudes bonds you with your bandmates pretty quickly, while it also leads to getting on each other's nerves. As Ella revealed that they were living off Jack Daniel's whiskey and cheap service station food like Doritos, taquitos, and hot dogs, as they didn't have a lot of money, earning just $500 a gig to split between the band, which mostly went on food, fuel, and accommodation, which meant they'd usually have to stay in dodgy cheap hotels. Experienced guitarist Ben Flanders was also on a salary of $150 a show, soaking up a lot of their earnings. However, he was too talented not to have on board and was already taking a pay cut after joining from Scott Stapp's band. But for Ella, it was all about the experience, despite not making any profit. Ella was so committed, however, that after a show she would even sell her own merchandise and had many interesting stories to tell about life on the road, receiving a tattoo in Vegas of the Ace of Spades card. Someone attempted to steal Ella's guitar after breaking into the green room. She suffered a panic attack. She was hit on by strange men and so-called fans who would even attempt to pick her up or grab her, while her fondest memory on tour was having her beloved dog Crew on tour with her, who is a Boykin Spaniel, named of course after the famous band Motley Crue. While on tour in March 2022, a song she wrote under her publishing deal titled Out Yonder would be picked up and released by Elle King, despite initially intending to one day release the song herself. Elle King, of course, is the daughter of actor Rob Snyder, who after finding success through her rock pop hit X's and O's, turned to country music. Ella would also co-write a further five tracks for Elle King's third studio album, titled Come Get Your Wife, including the songs Ohio, Lucky, Bonafide, Tulsa, which spelt backwards reads A Slut, and one that ended up being cut from the album, titled Banjo Slinging, all of which were co-written by Ella in under a day and a half of work, as Ella would have a hand in the success of the album as it went on to peak at number 11 on the US country chart. By early to mid 2022, tour drummer Michael Chalker would depart Ella's band and was replaced by Howard Nunnally, while bass player John Frisch would also depart, opening the door for Ryan Rye Jackson to take his place. Again, both new members were solid, respectful men who in fact were so ripped from being in the gym all the time that they were like her very own personal security team, making young Ella feel very safe and secure on the road. On the 28th of October 2022, Ella had her first commercial success with Country Boy's Dream Girl, as it was certified gold in both Canada and the US. With Ella claiming that this song was about being raised like a son by her father, and being into hunting, fishing, and driving cars, essentially as the title suggests, being every country boy's dream girl. 2022 would be a huge year for Ella, as she would not only join Randy Houser, but also Jamie Johnson on tour, performing across 36 states and releasing music she was finally proud of. In 2023, the good news just kept on coming for the hard-working Ella Langley, as she was named Hot Country Artist to Watch by Spotify before debuting on the 17th of February 2023 at the Grand Ole Opry, a bucket list goal for many aspiring country musicians. On the 25th of February 2023, Ella, now age 23, would also announce that she had just signed her very first record deal with the labels Sony Music Nashville and Columbia Records, as she excitedly wrote on her Instagram, quote, "I am so proud to finally announce that I signed a record deal, baby. Happy to have found a home with Columbia Records and Sony Music Nashville. If you would have told that 13-year-old girl learning guitar in her bedroom that the dreams she's dreaming are coming true, I think it would have knocked her out of her chair." From here, Ella entered the recording studio to record her debut EP that she would call Excuse the Mess, while her career just kept going to all new heights, as she would join the likes of Luke Combs and even John Party as a support act on his Mr. Saturday Night World tour, travelling for the first time to perform around the world in countries like Germany and Ireland, with Ella clocking around 100 gigs around the release of her EP. Ella's 8-track debut EP, titled Excuse the Mess, would be released on the 19th of May 2023, including a collaborative track with male artist Co Wetzel, titled That's Why We Fight, which also went gold in the US and earned her her very first CMT Award nomination, with Ella claiming, quote, "This might be the most toxic song I've ever written, with the song delving into adultery and relationship troubles." Ella also revealed that this was the very first song of hers to be played on radio, and that she was ecstatic to hear it for the very first time played on her car radio, surrounded by loved ones, bandmates, and her co-writers. The next single released from the 8-track EP would be titled Could Have Been Her, as Ella claimed, quote, "This song is about standing up for yourself. Not only is it one of my favourite songs on the EP, it's one of my favourite songs I've ever been a part of writing. My goal as an artist has always been singing something that's worth saying, and this song says a lot." While another standout from the EP includes the edgy country rock song Make Me Wanna Smoke. Ella would next release an underrated standalone single titled Paint the Town Blue, which did manage to go to number one on a number of US country radio stations like Highway Sirius XM, while she also collaborated with Tanner Ursay on his track Beautiful Lies, Young Love Strong Love with Jamie Johnson, and a track titled Strangers with Cameron Marlowe. Ella's name started to blow up as she began selling out her own solo shows. She landed a spot at the CMA Festival, a supporting gig with country music singer Hardy on his Quit tour, and even joined established country artist Riley Green on his Ain't My Last Rodeo tour, beginning in February 2024, as Ella would go on the road with Riley for over 4 months across America. Touring with Riley would do wonders for Ella's career, as Riley would often invite her onto stage during his show to perform a duet with her, which usually consisted of a cover song like Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. Despite struggling with losing her voice at times, due to her stunning performances, Ella landed a support role on Morgan Wallen's One Night at a Time tour from April through to August 2024 across America, while also releasing a new single titled Nicotine, as Ella describes her lover in the song being just as addictive as the nicotine in her cigarettes, giving her constant cravings. During early 2024, Ella would be busy in the studio with producer Will Bundy, producing her debut album, titled Hungover. Leading up to the album's release, Ella released some promotional singles, including the hard-hitting country rock track, Better Be Tough, while in May, she started teasing a song through her Instagram and TikTok accounts, titled You Look Like You Love Me, featuring the man she was currently touring with, Riley Green. Through this simple teaser video, of Ella literally just singing an a cappella version of the song, it started blowing up online and went viral on TikTok, with people all around the world using the sample of the song for their very own videos, before the song was even officially released. It was so popular that you couldn't even scroll through the app without at least hearing the catchy phrase, "Excuse me," at least once, as it was eventually everywhere with its earworm catchy lyrics and melody. On the last night of the Riley Green tour, Riley asked Ella to perform the song live with him as a surprise and a thank you to Ella for being such a great support act. Little did they know that a video of the pair singing the song together on stage would also go viral on TikTok, as fans began begging for the song to be released. On the 21st of June 2024, Excuse Me, You Look Like You Love Me was released as the debut single from Ella's upcoming debut album, Hungover. Nothing could quite prepare Ella for how big she was about to become from this unlikely hit, which would become the country anthem of 2024, with its catchy chorus, spoken word verses, and witty one-liners. Ella wrote the song with both Riley Green and Aaron Reitieri, who was known for writing the song I'll Never Love Again with Lady Gaga for the film A Star Is Born. The mostly spoken word old-fashioned country song sees Ella play the role of a flirtatious woman in a bar who's had a bit too much to drink as she makes her way over to Riley's character to profess her feelings for him, as they flirtatiously sing back and forth to one another before eventually leaving together. The song would go to number one on the Canadian, US radio and Australian country music charts, while also peaking at number 7 on the US Hot Country chart and number 30 on the Billboard Hottest 100, where it also went triple platinum in both the US and Canada. Eventually, the song went on to win 7 awards, including 3 CMA awards for Musical Event of the Year in 2024, and later in 2025 for Video of the Year and Song and Single of the Year, while it also took home 3 Academy of Country Music awards for Single of the Year, Music Event of the Year, and Visual Media of the Year. The music video, which was partly directed by Ella, is today a classic, featuring Ella's band members, Riley Green and Jamie Johnson, in an old western-style bar setting. The music video would go on to be viewed around 78 million times on YouTube, and the song has been streamed over 345 million times on Spotify. When Ella discovered that she had gone to number one on US radio for the first time, Ella took to her Instagram to express her joy, uploading an image of her performing as a little girl alongside her grandpa, as well as writing, quote, "That little girl has the number one song at country radio today. Been dreaming this dream for as long as I can remember. I haven't lived a single day where this wasn't the plan. The thing about a dream is, it's just a dream. Today, it feels real. This past year, it's felt real. Thank you for listening and sharing and believing." Both Ella and Riley liked the song before its release, but never anticipated that it would become a hit, let alone a viral sensation, as Ella spoke at the ACM Awards, stating, quote, "I grew up on classic country, and there's a lot of talking in it. Conway Twitty, Johnny Lee, David Allan Coe. This song really changed it for me as a songwriter. It taught me to just not care so much and write what you love and write what feels good. While in a separate interview, Ella stated, quote, "I'm obsessed with this song. I think it's so fun. I first wrote it with Aaron Retiri, and then Riley came in and wrote the second verse. It's a cute little love song, and hopefully it'll be someone's wedding song one day." Funnily enough, Ella never meant for the song to be any more than a honky-tonk sing-along around a campfire, literally writing the song as a tongue-in-cheek joke between friends, which was never meant to leave her phone, as Ella claimed that it just came out naturally one day in 2022 when she was just casually talking to Aaron about her failing love life and how she was ready to give up on love, as the title for the song just so happened to come up in conversation. This led to the pair freestyling for around 5 to 10 minutes before a majority of the song had already been written. Ella would later put emphasis on the spoken word verses, delivering the lines as if she was attempting to remember things. As mentioned earlier, the track wasn't meant to come out at all, but when Ella's manager Maya Hansen first heard the song, she declared that she had to put it out. Despite claiming that the song made her smile, Ella wasn't as keen to include it on the album and thought it would just be a B-side that people wouldn't like. However, luckily for Ella, Maya would secretly slip the song onto her debut album's demo cut without Ella knowing and sent it to the label. Ella usually was given plenty of creative control by Sony, and they did love the song. However, they weren't so keen on the spoken verses. Sony would request if Ella could sing the lines instead of just saying them. However, Ella would end up defending the song and declared that the verses are either left the way they are or it doesn't go on the album at all. So Sony backed down and the song remained. As Excuse Me did the rounds, on the 4th of July 2024, Ella would appear on the support lineup alongside Ernest and Riley Green to support Morgan Wallen in London, England, at the famous Hyde Park, with Ella claiming it was a career highlight and something she'll never forget, as she was blown away by the 50,000-strong crowd and the fact that a foreign audience was singing the lyrics to You Look Like You Love Me back to her. Later on down the track, on that very same tour with Morgan, Ella would play her very first stadium gig at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. On the 2nd of August 2024, Ella would release her debut album titled Hungover under Saw God and Columbia Records, which included 14 tracks co-written by Ella. Hungover would be a solid success, selling over 500,000 copies in the US, where it went gold and also reached number 5 on the US Top Country Albums chart and 28 on the US Billboard 200, while overseas it would reach the top 20 in Australia and the UK's country music chart. Ella was over the moon to have reached this point in her career, claiming she put her heart and soul into this 5-year project, writing proudly on her Instagram, quote, "Somebody tell the little girl in her grandparents' back room, learning to sing Amazing Grace, that she announced her debut album today. The journey to get to this point has been anything short of simply just that, a journey. I truly remember being a kid, staring at the ceiling in my bedroom listening to music, wondering if one day I'd get to put my own songs out into the world. Well, here we are, 14 songs that tell a story. I'm so grateful for the writers who helped me tell this story." Ella would continue to tour with the likes of Luke Bryan, Dierks Bentley, and Riley Green once again, while also announcing that she would be headlining her very first tour, known as the Hungover Tour, spanning from August to November 2024, as she would travel to places like Texas, Alabama, and Illinois, selling out every single show. Not only was Ella kicking goals on the music scene, but she had also become a founding member of Pawsative Rescue Division, helping animals, and in particular dogs, find new loving homes and saving them from abusive past owners. Ella would next release an extended album version of Hungover called Still Hungover, which included the lead single titled Weren't for the Wind, which was officially released in October 2024. Sadly, despite reaching number one on the Canadian country chart, one on the UK and US Airplay country chart, four on the US Hot Country chart, and 18 on the US Billboard Hottest 100, the track would often be overshadowed and less memorable compared to Excuse Me. Today, the track sits at over 300 million streams on Spotify as Ella delivers a heartfelt ballad or warning to future lovers about her restless spirit as Ella uses the wind as a metaphor for her so-called wanderlust or need to get away and travel, as she declares that if it weren't for the wind or the desire to be free as a traveling and aspiring musician, then she'd be fine with settling down. But as it's in her nature, she can't help but let the wind take her away and struggle to be committed romantically. Ella claims that she wrote the song while travelling through Wyoming and admiring the beauty of the fields as horses gallop beside her vehicle. Other standout tracks from the album and extended version include Love You Tonight, Girl You're Taking Home, I Blame the Bar, and a song about her now deceased grandparents called Closest to Heaven, with a majority of the album focusing on the themes of love, loss, relationship struggles, and personal growth. Ella would next earn performance slots on the likes of The Today Show and The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, collaborating and befriending country music idols of hers like Miranda Lambert and Lainey Wilson, and she earned her 4th ACM Award and 8th overall award for New Female Artist of the Year, while also earning brand promotions with the likes of Chevrolet and American Eagle Jeans. From January through to April 2025, Ella would embark on her first leg of her second headline tour, called the Still Hungover Tour, travelling once again across America to the likes of Charlotte, Kansas City, Indianapolis, and Columbia, selling out tickets to all 15 shows in just one day, before performing at the ACM Awards alongside Miranda Lambert. During this time, Ella would also release a successful cover version of Toby Keith's Wish I Didn't Know Now, and a song of her own called Never Met Anyone Like You with Hardy, with both songs performing solidly on US radio and making the top 50 on the US Hot Country chart. Ella also collaborated on the song Hell at Night with American rapper Big X for Plug, with the track reaching number 8 on the US Hot Country chart and 22 on the Billboard Hottest 100. However, it would be yet another collaboration with Riley Green, titled Don't Mind If I Do, which experienced further success, reaching number 1 on the US Country Airplay chart, 1 on the Canadian Country chart, 5 on the Hot US Country chart, and 23 on the US Hottest 100, where it also went platinum in the US and sits at over 200 million streams on Spotify to this day. During April 2025, Ella had also begun work on her second studio album, titled Dandelion, which was set to be released in late 2025. Ella would also add a second leg of the Still Hungover tour due to popular demand, selling out a further 10 shows from late August through to November 2025. However, just weeks after announcing these shows, everything just all became a bit too much, as Ella had essentially been on the road for 3 years now, with only a couple of weeks off in between, which led to severe fatigue and burnout. Ella felt terrible about the prospect of cancelling shows. However, Miranda Lambert told her, if you don't take a break, there might not be any shows left to perform. At her mental limit, Ella had no choice but to cancel these new shows, having only ever cancelled two shows before in her whole entire career. Ella revealed that on top of the burnout, she was also suffering with imposter syndrome after her sudden rise to fame, realizing that she needed to find herself again. While there had been plenty of positives so far, and she was grateful for her career, for example, she was able to help her family back home financially, she took her little sister on a trip to Hawaii, and she was able to buy herself a lake house in Alabama, Ella still felt like a nobody in the industry and hadn't yet felt like she deserved all the accolades, praise and awards she had been receiving. She was struggling socially with award show appearances and mingling amongst her idols and heavyweights of the country music industry. With her most recent appearance at the CMAs in 2025 setting her off, as she was the most nominated artist at the event and just didn't feel deserving. Ella claimed that she felt silly and ungrateful for feeling this way, but just couldn't shake the feelings of sadness. When speaking to Joe DeMessina on The Conversation, Ella revealed that in the aftermath of her feelings of inadequacy at the CMAs, she struggled to shake off her negative headspace as a day out at the beach for Ella's birthday would turn grim when she suffered from a debilitating panic attack that literally floored her for around 30 minutes. During the panic attack, Ella struggled to catch her breath as her manager helped to calm her down before she phoned her mother in distress. Ella had suffered previously from panic attacks with her bandmates aiding her, however she hadn't experienced one like this. After this severe panic attack, Ella would suffer yet another when backstage with her bandmates. During this latest attack, Ella would have an extraordinary breakthrough and awakening-type moment, which in her view drew her closer with God and set her back on the right path. Previously, Ella had a rocky relationship with her faith in God, as she hadn't felt worthy of his acceptance and grew to distance herself from God, as she had been doing silly teenager things, getting into some trouble, getting tattoos, and singing in bars. During this latest attack, Ella found herself having a bit of a breakdown, and when her drummer Howard asked if he could pray for her, Ella refused and started feeling uncomfortable and irritable. Ella claimed that she ran outside to escape the situation and hopped into an Uber that had been waiting for her for over 45 minutes, something she claims Ubers never do. Feeling like a burden on her bandmates for the way she had been treating them, she sat in the Uber as the song Speaking Terms about feeling disconnected with God that she used to perform at Writers' Rounds with Joy Beth Taylor happened to come into her head while they were stopped at a red traffic light. As Ella sat observing the traffic, she noticed that a white car was now surrounded by a bunch of black cars. As she said, quote, "That's kind of what the devil's doing to me right now." While she also said, it felt like she was getting attacked from all different angles, and her brain won't allow her to realize all the wonderful things that are happening to her right now. Thinking over things in her head, Ella then thought, wouldn't it be interesting if another white car came by? Which it did. She then thought, what if another came by? Which, again, it did, followed by 3 to 4 of the same white car every time she asked herself the question. Then, as Ella looked over at the radio station playing in the car, she realized the station playing was a religious one. Ella then looked back out the window, and right there written on a bumper sticker on yet another white car was the phrase, "He is greater," of course referring to God. The signs would just keep coming when the Uber driver turned to Ella and said, "God's got you," before she went on to explain to her that she had lost her son and found strength in God, before telling her that she felt compelled to relay this message to her. The Uber driver didn't speak English very well, but started to sing a beautiful hymn for Ella and began comforting her by rubbing her leg, as Ella burst into tears, claiming she, quote, cried like a baby. While some may say it's just a coincidence, for Ella, she took this as a sign from God, and it would be a huge turning point for her, revealing that this was the moment that she accepted God into her life again, and that this very moment saved her from the dark space that she was caught in. On August 12, 2025, Ella announced via her Instagram that she was stepping away from her career and the limelight to head back home to be with her parents, as she wrote, quote, I'm so sad to be posting this. The past several weeks have been tough. I've been fighting sickness and feeling more run down than ever. I've made the hard decision to take a couple of weeks to rest and focus on my health, mind, body and heart. I want to be fully present for all the moments ahead, and I know I can't do that without first taking care of myself. Ella would take this time to spend with her family and get back to her roots by reading the Bible, cooking, hunting, sharing bonfires, spending quality time with her animals, and riding her horses. After her much-needed break, Ella felt recharged and refreshed and was ready to resume her promising career, returning officially during mid-September 2025, performing two shows as the support act for Morgan Wallen's I'm the Problem tour, before relaunching her own shows with the Still Hungover tour. Her upcoming second studio album Dandelion, however, would be pushed back to an early 2026 release. On the 11th of October 2025, Ella began teasing an upcoming single titled Choosin' Texas, which was set to feature on her latest album, with the clip sending fans into a frenzy, with the incredible sound of the steel guitar and Ella's isolated vocals. Then, on the 17th of October 2025, Ella would release Choosin' Texas, which no doubt would go down as one of the best songs of the year. Ella first debuted the song live back in February 2025, but little did she know that this banger of a tune would put her on the map, taking her career to all new heights. The song would be praised by fellow artists like Kane Brown and Ava Max, while critics declared her as the next best thing in country music and a breath of fresh air that the genre desperately needed. Not only did Ella's vocals, brilliant steely guitar melody, and brilliant lyrics form a perfect country pop song appealing to a younger audience, but in particular, the song earned Ella a massive following from male listeners who were drawn to her refreshing sound, with Ella's growing male fan base earning the nickname Ella's Fellas, while the female fans are known as Langley's Ladies. Choosin' Texas became a viral sensation once again on TikTok and a huge hit worldwide, reaching not only the top of the country music charts across Australia, Canada, the UK, and the US, but it also made it to number one on the mainstream US and Canadian Billboard Hottest 100, where it went platinum, a huge milestone for a female country artist. As Ella wrote via her Instagram, quote, We did it. Choosin' Texas is the number one song on the Billboard Hottest 100. I can't thank you all enough for what you've done with this song. It blows my mind every single day. Here's to women and country music. Ella would become the first female artist to simultaneously go to number one on the Hottest 100, top country and country airplay charts in the US all at the same time. Choosin' Texas would also peak at number 4 on both Australia and New Zealand's mainstream charts, 5 in Ireland and 9 in the Netherlands of all places. Co-written by Ella, Joy Beth, Luke Dick, and Miranda Lambert, the song now stands at over 312 million streams on Spotify and over 50 million views on YouTube. The title for the song was actually brought about one day when Miranda Lambert was chatting with Ella about some of her most crazy adventures, including the time when she was pulled over by the police with her pet kangaroo in the passenger seat, only to explain to the officer that she has Texas license plates, insinuating that it's legal to own a kangaroo in that state and that it's essentially to be expected, as people from Texas are a bit far out. As Ella said out loud, "She's from Texas, I can tell," as this light bulb moment saw a passing phrase become the title for a would-be hit song. Together they would write the song in just under 30 minutes, with the lyrics exploring a love triangle of sorts, as Ella's character expresses that she's losing the man she loves, as he has wandering eyes for a woman he used to know in Texas. Ella would never reveal the true origin or inspiration for this song, however, rumours did circulate from fans that it was about a love triangle between Ella, Riley Green, and Megan Maroney. With Ella wrapping up her touring schedule close to Christmas, she would release a cover version of Winter Wonderland with Luke Bryan, as it peaked inside the top 50 in both the US Hot Country Chart and Country Airplay Chart, while in the new year, Ella announced that her second studio album would be titled Dandelion and was set to be released later in April 2026. On January 30, 2026, Ella would release her second single titled Dandelion from the upcoming album of the same name. The track Dandelion managed to reach number 7 on the US Hot Country Chart, 9 in New Zealand, and 37 on the US Hottest 100. Once again, it was written with the help of Joy Beth Taylor, among others, and co-produced by Miranda Lambert. This beautiful ballad is a tribute to both Ella's roots, being a country girl from Alabama, and using a dandelion blowing in the breeze as symbolism for her carefree, wild nature, and uniqueness, as she sings the brilliant lines, "Dandelion, born to live free, riding on a breeze on a summer night, tucked back in the weeds, guess that's just me. In a bed of red roses, I'm the one growing up on the wilder side. So if you're tired of thorns, I'm a little more dandelion." As Ella revealed, quote, "Dandelions are masters of survival, thriving in even the harshest environments. Often dismissed as a common weed, this unassuming plant carries a deeper symbolism of hope, healing, and resilience." On March 23rd, 2026, Ella would release her third single from the upcoming album, titled Be Her. In this song, Ella sings about wanting to be a better version of herself, and not particularly about wanting to be someone else, but wanting to be that stable, drama-free person that she craves to be. Instead, she lives a chaotic life full of drinking, smoking, and relationship woes. The catchy, self-reflective ballad was written alongside Ella's co-writers like Hardy, claiming that it only took them around 30 minutes to complete. The song would become a huge country hit once again, reaching number 2 on the US Hot Country Chart, 3 on the UK Country Airplay Chart, and number 8 on the US Billboard Hottest 100. After supporting Eric Church on his latest run of shows for the Free the Machine tour, Ella announced that she would be heading out on a US Arena Dandelion tour, while also joining Morgan Wallen on his Still the Problem tour. With Ella claiming in a recent interview that she doesn't like to get political with music and welcomes everyone to her gigs, stating that it's important to her that her gigs are a place to forget about the troubles in the world and have a good time. Ella's dream run would continue when she would also be nominated for 5 awards at the upcoming AMAs in 2026, as she is up for the Song of the Year for Choosin' Texas and Favorite Country Female Artist. This comes after being the most nominated artist at last year's awards, with 8, as well as winning an iHeartRadio Award for Best New Country Artist and being presented the Billboard Rising Star Award by friend and mentor Lainey Wilson at the Country Power Players Awards in 2025. Ella would next release a beautiful autobiographical song titled Loving Life Again on the 20th of March 2026, as Loving Life Again delves into the fond childhood memories of her grandparents and Ella's break from music to get back to her roots, as the title suggests, to love life again, as she revealed via her Instagram, quote, "Loving Life Again is one of those songs that I wrote almost because I needed to. Obviously, last year I kind of lost my mind a little bit. My imposter syndrome kicked in. My life was moving faster than ever. All my dreams were coming true, but I felt sad for some reason. Just that in itself was frustrating. I kinda lost myself a little bit last year, and that was tough because all of these amazing things were happening in my life, and you would think that would make me the happiest person in the world. I've never cancelled anything, maybe one or two shows the whole time, and ended up cancelling 2 weeks worth. So I did that, came back here, closed in my first house in Alabama, coincidentally right around the same time, and got back home with my family. I got to really grow my relationship with my faith. When I looked in the mirror, I looked like myself again at the end of those 2 weeks. And I was hanging out with Ernest, and he asked, how are you doing? And I just looked at him and said, looks like I'm back to loving life again. The track was co-produced with Miranda Lambert, and would go on to reach number 11 on the US country chart. Most recently, on the 10th of April 2026, Ella Langley would release her 18-track album, Dandelion, as the album centres around personal growth, healing, coming of age, relationship dramas, callbacks to her roots, and resilience built from her life experiences. With Ella declaring that she actually came up with the Dandelion title before her first album, titled Hungover, had actually been released, as she claimed it was the perfect follow-up title to Hungover, as she discovered when speaking with her makeup artist that dandelion tea works as a natural detox for the liver, in particular after drinking and attempting to overcome a hangover, symbolically representing that she was leaving behind her previous album's themes of heartbreak, immaturity and intoxication to clarity, health and grounding herself. While Ella also claimed that dandelions are often mistaken or dismissed as weeds, despite being hardy, useful and resilient plants, which for Ella is how she has felt at times in her career, seeing herself as a resilient survivor who, like the dandelion, thrives in harsh environments or against the odds. The album cover artwork is an instant classic and was taken by Ella's talented friend and photographer, Kaylee Robillard. It would feature Ella in her country-style Stevie Nicks-inspired white netted dress, sitting amongst flowers, and in particular dandelions, giving off an old-school nostalgic country vibe, just like her music, with Ella claiming that the dress she wore for the photo shoot was made by Upcycling Diaries, who made it using recycled antique tablecloths. The album itself would be a smash hit, debuting on the Billboard 200 chart at number 1 in the US, making Ella the first female country music artist to chart at number 1 this year, and the highest selling first week sales for an album by a female artist so far in 2026. As Dandelion sold 169,000 units in the US alone in just its first week. This would be Ella's first number one album in the US, while it also reached the number one spot in the UK, US, and Australia on their country music charts, and reached number three in Scotland and New Zealand, four in Australia, and seven in the UK on their mainstream charts. Critics like NME's Helen Brown labelled the album a, quote, country classic, as it would receive critical acclaim and many positive reviews. The album would include cover versions of Froggy Went Accordin', which of course is the song she first learnt to sing with her grandfather, and a variety of quality tracks from Ella, from the smooth chill vibes of You and Me Time, the sad somber vibe of Last Call for Us, to the more upbeat Bottom of Your Boots, with Ella telling Theo Von on his podcast that she got the saying from her father, as he would often say to her, I love you from the top of my hat to the bottom of my boots. For Ella, this album no doubt will go down as one of her greatest and a turning point in her career, filled with catchy banger after banger, or songs that may require a tissue or two, as Ella claimed that she purposely tried to write songs that are easy to sing along to and could be memorable after just one play. With Dandelion, Ella herself even felt that she had truly arrived as an artist and as a songwriter, and like she had finally found her style and true self musically. Most recently, on the 24th of April 2026, Ella would release a standalone single titled I Can't Love You Anymore with country superstar Morgan Wallen, a 70s-influenced Fleetwood Mac-style song that delves into a toxic relationship that simply needs to end. While that same day, Ella also launched her very first fragrance called Be Her. Today, Ella Langley is 26 years old and is quickly taking the world by storm with her old-fashioned style of country music with a modern twist, as she currently averages around 27 million listeners a month on Spotify. Not only is she making waves on the American country scene, but she's also becoming a household name around the world, including here in Australia, where country music continues to rise in popularity and break into the mainstream. And if her journey so far is anything to go by, this is only the beginning of her story, as this resilient Alabama girl has overcome so much in her life to be where she is today, all while keeping grounded and no doubt is on a path to a long and illustrious career. And that wraps up this episode of Lyrics of Their Life podcast. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If this is your first time tuning in to our show, don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss our future episodes. And if you're really enjoying the show, a quick rating or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts goes a long way in helping us to grow. If you would like to follow the podcast, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, X, and TikTok at Lyrics of Their Life Podcast, or on our website at lyricsoftheirlife.com for updates and more. If you'd like to support the podcast further and help keep episodes like this coming, you can head over to my Patreon at patreon.com/lyricsoftheirlifepodcast, or you can buy me a coffee over at buymeacoffee.com/lyricsoflifepod. Every bit of support means the world to me and helps make episodes like this one possible. Whether you're a long-time listener or just discovering the show for the first time, thank you for being here and supporting the show in whatever form that comes in. Thanks again for listening. I'm your host, Adam Hampton, and this is Lyrics of Their Life.